Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming this morning, and thank you for your encouragement and prayers and the preparation for this message. This morning we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, and we're studying verses 1 through 12. So you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. For those of you who have been here regularly, you'll know that over the last several months, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and we'll be continuing through the book. Here we are in chapter 3. Before we start, I think we'll just open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises and the riches that we have in Christ, and we thank you that Christ lives in us if we believe in him, and we thank you that our source and power is from him and from God and all things that we have. We just ask that you would guide our thoughts here this morning and that you would teach us from your word. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll start off by reading the verses here in Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, the which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am the less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. We'll stop there. So there's a lot of things in this chapter, in these first 12 verses. And before we get into that, I'm just going to kind of give a little bit of context to the book. Ephesians has a few different, I guess you could say, sections to it. Chapters 1 through 3 talk a lot about the riches that we have in Christ Jesus and the promises, and that they are in him. And that's one of the themes that I want to bring across to us, is where is our source from? Where are we getting our riches and our promises from? Chapters 4 and 5 are more related to our walk and our living the life of Christ. And then chapter 6 talks a bit about the battlefield and the warfare with Satan and spiritual warfare. So there's three main thoughts that back in Ephesians chapter 3 that I'd like to look at. First of all, we'll talk some about the messenger, who is Paul here. And then we'll talk a bit about the message in regards to what the mystery is that's spoken of, and the meaning here. So first of all, we're going to look at the messenger. So verse 1 says, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And I'm just looking at his circumstances. So we see he's in prison. And he says he's the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. It appears that Paul was doing the things that God had called him to do. He was preaching the gospel. And then here he ends up in prison, and he might ask, why are things going hard for me? Why am I in prison? I didn't ask to be here. And why am I in this difficult situation? But we notice that he doesn't gripe. He doesn't complain. He is not showing self-pity for himself. Instead, he says it's a privilege. He says it's the grace of God which is given to me to give this message. And we know that while he was in prison, Paul wrote many of his letters that we still read today. So we might be in a situation where we don't want to be. We might be, no one here is in prison, obviously, but we might be in a difficult place or place where we didn't see ourselves going. But it's important for us to remember that God can use us where we are and in that circumstance. There's a few examples of this in the Old Testament. Joseph would be one. He also was in prison. He hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't. He was falsely accused, and that was the reason he was in prison. But like Paul, he didn't complain and gripe. Instead, he used that time, and God used that time to prepare him for later on in his life when he would be a leader in Egypt, and he would save his family and many others from famine. So that's an example from Joseph. In the New Testament, I was thinking about Philip. He was someone who was preaching the gospel, and many people were getting saved and believing. And then he was called out to a desert place, and he might have wondered, why am I in this desert here? But actually, God wanted him there, right there at that time, to help someone, this Ethiopian eunuch that was searching. And because he was there at that time in that place, that searching man found Christ. So I have a question for us, is what are you and I doing for God in the place that God has us right now? A verse that, before I close this thought, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. And this is talking about how we don't always see the big picture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And then the verse 18 that I was thinking, "Well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And those are some thoughts to think about. Next thought regarding the messenger here is his calling. Verses 2 and 3, he mentions that he was given... by the grace of God, he was given the dispensation to present the mystery as he had already previously written. And this is a responsibility he took seriously. It was not something that he decided that he was going to do on his own. It was something God had given him to do. We see that in Acts chapter 9. How he was called to be a minister to the Gentiles. And I'll read in Acts chapter 9. Verse 15, I'll just read the whole verse. "But the Lord said to him," and this is talking about Paul, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles kings and the children of Israel. So he was sent, and he had a call, and that was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And I wonder, are we listening to God's call, and are we making our goals in alignment with his goals for our lives, instead of saying, I'm going to go here and do this, and I need God to go and bless me in doing this, versus following his leading in his way. So there we see Paul had a calling. And then right follow to that is his obedience. Verse 8 says he went to preach among the Gentiles. And it wasn't easy for him. We know that he was put in prison. He was hated by many people. He suffered many persecutions. But he chose to obey God's command. And we know that it was honoring to God, and it was a blessing to many people. And we also have a choice. We don't understand, I don't understand a lot of things, but there are things that we do understand, and that's what God's asked us to do. To do the things that we do understand, and he will show us more as we grow in him. And that's a question for us. Are we obeying the things that we do know? And finally, about the messenger here, I just want to talk about his humility. Because Paul isn't boasting about himself being a great person or how good he was. He gives the credit of the power to God, and that's in verse 7-8 again. He mentions it's unsearchable riches in Christ Jesus. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And appreciate that song that we sang this morning, Christ Lives in Us. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he realized that it was Christ, not him, that equipped him. And it's important to remember the message is bigger than the messenger. So now we will look about the message, spend more time on that. What is the message of the mystery that is made known to Paul that he's trying to tell us? That's in verse 6. And I'll read verse 6 for direct explanation. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So we know that there was, in this time, we think primarily Gentile people that were written to in the book of Ephesians, but there was also groups of Jewish people. And it would seem that some of the Jewish people were trying to say that in order for you to have salvation, you have to practice circumcision, you have to practice the law of Moses, and that would be how you were saved. I have a reference to that. Acts 15, I believe. There's a discussion about that kind of thing. Do we, the Jews are saying, you know, do we need to make the Gentiles do all the practices of the law? And Acts chapter 15, we won't read all of it, but verses 1 to 11 for your reference. I won't read it all, but you can read this on your own. There's a lot of discussion here about, says in verse 2, there was no small dissension and dispute. And they went on saying that there was many Gentiles being saved, and there were some from the sect of the Pharisees who they believed, But they rose up and they said, oh, it's necessary to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. And there was a lot of discussion. And verse 7, Peter says, he mentions how the Gentiles had heard the word of the gospel and believed. And then verse 8 and 9, it says, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And there is no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse 11 says, for we believe that through Christ, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. So we're seeing something that it's not just for Jewish people, it's not just for Gentile people, but there is the availability of Christ for all people, all nations, and this is not something that was clearly understood prior to Christ's coming. There were, I believe, some hints of this. We see, we know that in Genesis, God said to Abraham that in him all nations of the earth would be blessed. There's other verses that that say the same thing. Galatians 3, verse 8. In the Psalms, Psalms 86, 5 says he's abundant in mercy to all those who call upon him. We know that there were Gentiles in the Old Testament who did believe. There's examples of Ruth, of there's other ones as well. And the people of Nineveh, they repented. We know Nebuchadnezzar, Naaman the leper, and more. But here we see that there's no difference in our access to God, whether we are Jewish or Gentiles, and instead we're part of one body. And yes, that's Luke chapter 2. We see Simeon referencing this. And that's in verse 31 and verse 32. No, it's not. And once I find it, it's about Simeon prophesying about Christ. I'm in Acts, that's why. Go back to chapter 2 of Luke. And it is verse 31, verse 32. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. He says, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles in the glory of your people Israel. So God's plan all along was for all people to have access to salvation. We talked about what the mystery is, and how was this made possible? And it was made possible, it says back in Ephesians chapter 3, through the gospel. So first of all, we need to know what is the gospel, and because it's through Christ, through the gospel, that we can have this access to God. So I'm going to reference several verses. Romans 1 verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So there it's saying that it's the power of God. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4. Are talking here. There we see it's talking about the gospel, and it says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So we see that Christ died, and this is according to the scriptures. And then we see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Titus 3, verses 4 through 6 say it also very well. It's not by works that we gain merit before God. So Titus chapter 3. "But when the kindness of God and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." So we see what the gospel is. The question that we can ask ourselves today is, if today was our last day and that was it, where would we be tomorrow? And Jesus said, "Whosoever shall call upon the Lord will be saved." And only you and I can answer that question. Have you called upon the Lord? And you don't have to worry about what anyone else is doing or what they think or whether they have called or not. The first and most important thing is, who are you calling upon and who have you called upon for salvation? And this is the most important question that you will ever ask yourself, because your eternity depends upon it. And you need to make absolutely sure. And then if you are sure, tell someone else. I have an illustration here, a couple of illustrations about our source. So I have a tree. It's dead. Doesn't have any root. But you wouldn't really know that because it's in the dirt. So there's branches. There's no leaves. So there's a problem with this tree. It doesn't have any leaves. So I got some leaves for this tree. We'll put some on here. Maybe these are some good works that we're trying to do. There we shoveled the neighbor's driveway the other week. Here we smiled at someone. Here we came to church on Sunday. There's some more. Here we did really well in the Bible memorization. Got some more leaves. I could just keep putting those on, but you get the point. All these things, what's the problem with these? They're not, first of all, they're not connected to the tree, and even if they were, this tree isn't connected to any source. It doesn't have any root structure. It's just, it's dead. So all these efforts on my own are not going to bring us any fruit. It's this is our own works, and it's empty. Eventually these leaves will shrivel up. I can take a spray can and paint it green again, and they'll kind of look like green dead leaves, but yeah, you get the point. I have a live branch, we'll call it a tree, and these are actual leaves, and they came from the source. And that's the most important thing that I want us to remember this morning, is where is our source? Where are we getting our power from? Because if it's on ourselves, we're going to fall short every time. One other illustration I have that might help us to remember is, I got this little drill. It doesn't have a battery. right yet. And on its own, it can't do anything. It's not a perfect illustration, but the point is the source here is of power is in the battery. So when we connect the battery, then we will have power and have the ability to do things. But without that battery connected, it is it's just a paperweight, or it's nothing. So God created us for a purpose, and he wants us to rely on him for strength. So we should move on here. I want to mention about regards to the message, it was displayed towards all people and powers. We know that it was the church is united in one body, both Jews and Gentiles. It says it's for all people to see. But in verse 10, it also mentions that it's known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And I think this is important because God is demonstrating that he is over all these powers and he triumphs over them in it. I just have one reference that I think would be good to turn to in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. And you can kind of relate this dead tree and this live tree in these verses. It says, "And you being dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of ordinances or requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." And we know that God's wisdom is infinite, and he has shown that he's able to overcome all these powers. He triumphs over them. Satan wants to deceive, he wants to divide, he wants to destroy, but God's overcome him. We need to be aware of Satan and his work, but we don't need to fear about who is greater, God or Satan. There's no comparison. But if we're trying to live our life on our own without any connection to the source, so we don't draw from our source, we will lack in our ability. And we know that we will make mistakes and we will sin. And in 1 John, we read that we have an advocate with our Father, which is Jesus Christ. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Finally, I just want to mention a few things about the riches that we have in Christ and where our confidence is. Verse 8 mentions that we have unsearchable riches in Christ. If we're in Christ, we have access to everything that is through him. And we don't need to be living like, we have a purpose in our life, and we don't need to be living like beggars when we have unlimited resources. God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I think someone read that this morning. And it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll see more about all the blessings that we have in Christ as we go through the rest of Ephesians with whoever might be sharing from the following chapters. But let's just remember where are we drawing our resources from, and then a thought I have in regards to this is If you are in Christ, you have these riches available. And if you don't understand that, you will not be able to effectively display or live out these riches. And so the question is, are we accessing these riches in Christ? Finally here, our thought in verse 12 is regarding confidence. And where is our confidence? Where is our faith in? Who is our faith in? We don't have to be here uncertain or unsure. Verse 12, it says we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. There may be things that are holding us back, but we can remember that Christ is the victory, and through him we can be effective, and it's his work, not ours. We know that throughout the New Testament, the apostles prayed for boldness. I wonder if we pray for boldness. Sometimes we pray that we would get out of prison, or our circumstance, which is understandable, but sometimes God wants us there for a certain time, and we don't see what the final situation will be, and we can pray that God will do his working in whatever circumstance we are, even in the midst of trouble. Paul in Philippians says that he learned in whatever state he was to be content. This isn't always easy, but we need to keep our eyes on Christ. So just to recap these things, I just want to review what we looked at. We thought about the unsearchable riches that we have in Christ Jesus. We looked at the messenger Paul and his circumstances and his calling and his obedience and his humility. We talked about the message of the mystery and how it was made possible through the gospel, how we're united in one. And I would say, adding to that, are we all pulling on the same team? Or are we all going the same way? And sometimes we can lose focus on our unity in one body and hit up against each other instead of focusing on our goal. And so let's just remember what our goal is. We see that God's wisdom is displayed towards all people and powers, and God's triumphed over all these powers. And we have access to unsearchable riches and confidence to live for each day. So one final thought, and then I'll close in prayer. If it is Christ working, if he is our source, then the potential is as big as he is, and that is unsearchable. So let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you hold all things by your power. Often we don't understand all things, but we pray that we would rest in you, and we thank you for the unsearchable power and riches we have. Thank you that there's victory in Jesus. So we pray you would guide and direct our lives in this. In Jesus' name, amen.